In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
So let's imagine for just a minute here. This is Sunday school. I'm the teacher, and you are all my students. So we come to class this morning, and I'm going to pass out these post-it notes. Each one of you gets a post-it note. And I'm going to ask you for your assignment today to write down on the front of that post-it note, just this little space right here, a summary of the entire Bible. Summarize it on the front of a post-it note. That's tough, isn't it? Tough teacher. Got a very limited space, right? This one here has an advertisement for a prescription drug too, so you're even more limited. Think about that for a minute. I want to share a story with you. Come on in if you're in the narthex. Come on in. We'll have you all in here today so you can hear the message. So I just got back from the village, Antiochian village. It's been a month of traveling for me. It's so good to be home. I just want to say that to you. No place like it. But this last trip was the clergy symposium, and on Thursday morning, got up and I left the conference center and I went walking around the camp area. So it's early. This is before 7 a.m. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful. You can walk around. You know, where else can you do that? Sort of be in the beauty of nature. Pray and visit the grave of our father among the saints, Raphael of Brooklyn. Where else can you do that but the village? So it was very peaceful, very refreshing. I even saw His Eminence Archbishop Joseph in his running shoes and shorts getting some morning exercise. Where else can you do that, you know, before 7 a.m.? So in my little travels there, walking around the camp area, I went to the chapel, the St. Ignatius Chapel, right in the middle of the village. And I entered the first set of doors, and I was kind of in that narthex area. And then I went in, I venerated some of the icons. And when I came out, I noticed that on the front door, someone had put a little post-it note. It was a little blue post-it note, just about this size. And on it was written this. I'm not paraphrasing, I'm going to quote it verbatim because I want you to hear it. It said, "We should love another person as God has loved us." Exclamation point. We should love another person as God has loved us. Exclamation point. That's important. So I think we have a winner, beloved in Christ. I think we have a statement, a summary, a two-sentence, a two-phrase summary of the entirety of our scriptures. So that inspired me the whole day, the whole week. It formed the basis of my sermon today. And here it is in the epistle. Did you hear what was chanted in the epistle today? Let us each one please his neighbor for that which is good for edification. And then it talks about, because that's what Jesus did, right? Christ didn't please himself, but the reproaches of those who reproached thee fell on me. So that's so important, that little phrase that was written on the post-it note. I want to say a couple things about it. I think it was written by a young person. I don't think it was written by an adult, because you know, you can tell by the way the handwriting. Maybe somebody who was an older camper, or maybe even a counselor in training. But somebody at that camp wrote that on the note and stuck it on the door. A young person. We have to approach God like children. We have to approach the gospel, the teachings, like little children. We have to approach like children, or we will not enter heaven. So I love that it was written by a young person, first of all. And this is, we can safely say, a total summary of all of the scriptures. Start with the Old Testament. What do we hear Jesus tell the lawyer in Matthew chapter 18? When he is asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus tells him, well, you know what's in there. Love God above all, number one. And the second commandment is like it, means it's just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, on these two hang, that's the language, hang the entire law and the prophets. In other words, all of the Old Testament, the Bible, is summarized in that. Everything depends on that. Love God and love your neighbor. So this is a summary of the Old Testament, this little phrase written on the post-it note. It's also a summary of the New Testament, because we hear in the Gospel of John that Jesus brings a new commandment to us. And that new commandment really doesn't sound so new when we hear it. Love one another, you know, that's not new. When Jesus was saying it, it was not new. They knew that from the Old Testament. They knew that from Moses. That's the greatest commandment, to love one another. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And there's the new part. So on this post-it note that I saw, in this one phrase actually, is a summary of the entirety of Scripture. Can you imagine how beautiful and how wonderful that was to see? I also like that it was tacked on the door, or stuck on the door. It's almost like anybody who was wandering by and wanted to see, what is this? What is this all about? Before they enter into the church, before they see the beauty of the icons of that architecture, before they hear the word proclaimed or hear the beautiful choir, they have to know, this is what we believe. This is what we preach. We should love another person as God has loved us. Exclamation point. And I like the exclamation point too, because this gospel, this word, this summary of our entire faith that has to be received with joy, believed with joy, and then proclaimed with joy. So the exclamation point really hammers that home. It was an inspiring moment for me, and I have to share with you also the content or the theme of our getting together, all the priests, deacons, and bishops in our archdiocese. You know, 200 people. And our focus was on a verse from Timothy, St. Paul's teaching, where he tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth. So there were workshops and talks and presentations and a lot of thought and prayer on how to minister to the youth, how to teach the young people so that they stay in the church, so that they learn the faith, so that they are fed with the Word of God. Ministering to the youth, that was the focus. Now we heard presentations, we had discussions, we had one night where it was a panel, and we had youth directors from all over the archdiocese. Interesting to hear the input. Interesting to hear people's perspective, especially coming from priests and bishops about how to feed young people. Very interesting. I have to say I was a little confused. So many different opinions, observations, remedies, you know, it really needs to be worked on. We need to pray about this and really distill something. But the thing that became apparent to me, really two things from all the discussions, was number one, whatever we do, we have to give young people a real experience of Jesus Christ. You know, programs, surveys, committees, we need to look at our youth, you know, in every aspect, because it's become apparent that young people aren't staying in the church. You know, young people are falling away from the church, number one, and they're also not following the teachings of the church. So either in practice or in their identity, they're losing the Orthodox Church at some point in their life. So this is critical. We need to have programs. We need to have people looking at it. We need to make our church feed the young people. But if they're not having that real experience of Jesus Christ first and foremost, nothing else is going to work. That became apparent to me. And the second thing, we have to, if we want to feed our young people and touch them and really make a difference with the church. We have to visit them where they live. We have to visit young people where they live. Now, there was one priest who posed his situation, and he said, I don't know what to do. I don't have an email. I'm not on the internet. And yet, how can I speak to, how can I talk to, how can I feed my young people? You know, what would you suggest to this person? And of course, a remedy that I thought of was, you need to get an email account pronto. You need to get on Facebook, you know, because kids today aren't using email so much. That's what we learned. They're on Facebook and texting, and it's instantaneous connection. So if you send them an email, they might not check it for a few days. They want the instant, it's as close to a real-time relationship as you can get. So we need to get into that. We need to have somebody set that up for us if we don't know how to do it, just so we can look in and see what our kids are experiencing. What are they into? What are they worried about? What are they talking about? What are they hoping for? Or at the very least, to feed them with something. So I would tell this priest, send them little messages. Tell them you love them. You're praying for them. Visit their world if you want to make a difference. So this isn't just sound advice from some priests who know. It's what God does. This is what I want to talk about now and leave you with today. This is what God does. This is the whole story of salvation, isn't it? Does God teach us from on high in a booming voice and we're down here shuddering at his teachings? That's not what we learn in the New Testament. That's not the story in the Gospels. No, he comes in Jesus. He comes in a man. And he visits us face to face. He visits our world. That's our whole Orthodox theology, beloved in Christ. God coming into our world because he loves us so much. And he wants to feed us. He wants to nurture us. He wants to ultimately save us. This is God the Father ministering to the world, his children, those of us who are his children in the world, and doing it with this great tradition of being there. You have to be there. You have to visit. You have to encounter. You have to interact. You have to be interested in young people. So I'm so blessed to have been there during this clergy symposium. Like I said, it raised more questions than we got answers for. But at the very least, we have we're empowered by one another. That's the priests, the deacons, and the bishops. And we're empowered and blessed by you, the people that we work with. And your efforts build us up. So I thank you for that today. Thank you for sending me to the clergy symposium. Thank you for sending your children to camps where they can experience that real relationship of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. And I said it before, I want to say it one more time. If we don't give children that real experience of Jesus Christ, they will never stay in the church. They will never keep their faith. They won't have anything to hold on to. They'll find something else that's more important and more meaningful. I'm going to say something funny now. Listen to this. That means, of course, not just going to church. That means, first of all, it does mean going to church, because you can't experience Jesus by sitting home and reading a Bible. You can only experience him in the worship of the church, in the body and blood and the sacramental life of Holy Communion and the life of the church. One priest told us this. He says, I have a parishioner who complained. He said, Father, how come every time I come to church, they're passing out palms? You get it? Show you how our perspective is sometimes off. Well, that's not a real experience, beloved. The real experience, and it's not dragging someone by the ears, you know, and forcing them to go to church and pay attention, right? We got to love them. We got to have compassion. We have to be with them. You know, don't send them. Don't drop them off. Take them inside and sit with them. So we're blessed. We have a wonderful metropolitan archbishop. We have very pious and dedicated hierarchs that are committed to the young people in our church and to you, the faithful, the Orthodox faithful. And they're praying for you, and they're helping to build up our archdiocese so our young people connect with it, so they experience it, and not just today, not just this Sunday, but every day, and a lifelong experience of identification with Orthodoxy. Not just identification, but in practice as well. So please keep them in your prayers. Keep all of our those working in youth ministry and all our young people in your prayers. Bring your children to church. You know, don't neglect it. Don't let them ask that dumb question. Why are there always palms? Why are they always collecting for palms when I come to church, right? Because it's the only Sunday you're here. That's why, right? So pray for them, pray for us, and pray for one another. Remember the gospel, the whole Bible in a nutshell. Love your neighbor as God has loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.